Today's daf is Avodazara daf Chav Dalid. We are holding on daf Chav Gimel on the base. We're going to pick up again from Gufa, about 8 lines before the end of the page. The Gemara is going to discuss the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that you're not allowed to use as a karban a behema that was gotten from an Ovid Chavim. And the Gemara is going to challenge from the story of Dama ben Nesina, on two levels, that we wanted to buy Avanim le'efod from Dama ben Nesina, who was a guy, and the Paraduma was ultimately acquired from Dama ben Nesina, who was a guy. Then the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Elazar actually has two separate concerns when it comes to getting a behema from an Ovid Chavim. One is that he thinks it's a pasuk, a drasha from pasuk, that kicha has to dafka be that mi b'nei Yisrael, that you have to purchase mi b'nei Yisrael, gzeir sakasuk. And the other is a chashash raviya, that he's concerned that the Ovid Chavim was roveya his behema. Then the Gemara is going to have five rayas from psukim against Rabbi Elazar, because we have several psukim, five psukim, where it seems historically that the Jewish people did get karbanos, did take animals from Ovid Chavim that they ultimately used as karbanos, and the Gemara is going to answer those rayos. And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to limit, Rabbi Yochanan is going to be mechadesh, that we can limit the chashash raviya, that the chashash raviya is only after a certain age, but prior to a certain age, we could assume the Ovid Chavim is not going to touch the animal. He's afraid that he's going to ruin his animal. And then, in that context, when we're quoting all these different psukim, one of the psukim that we're going to quote is the animals that the Plishtim sent when they sent the Aron back. They sent cows pulling the Aron. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about those cows, and particularly how we're going to dash it from the psukim that the cows themselves were singing Shira as they were pulling the Aron back. So what Shira were they singing? We're going to have six different opinions of what Shira they were singing. So let's begin at Gufa on Chav Gimel and Beis. First one line, Gufa. Tani Shila, my time at Rabbi Eliezer. What's the concern of Rabbi Eliezer that you're not allowed to buy behemos for a karban from an Ovid Chavim? Tchsev daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu. B'nei Yisrael yakichu v'en Ovid Chavim yakichu. That we darshan that B'nei Yisrael have to be the ones that allow you to be lokeach, meaning that are the ones that are selling it to you, but Ovid Chavim cannot be the ones that are selling it to you. Ela me'ata daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma. Hachinami, the B'nei Yisrael yikhu v'en Ovid Chavim yikhu. You can say the same thing by truma, that only if it comes from B'nai Yisrael can you use things for the Mishkan, but things that are not from B'nai Yisrael you cannot use for the Mishkan. V'chitei machinami, and if you're going to say, yeah, in achinami, that's the way it works. You can only, the materials of the Mishkan had to have been gotten from Jewish hands. V'am Rav Yidomar Shmuel, but Rav Yidomar Shmuel tells the story that Shalu es Rav Elazar ad heichem kibur aveim. They asked Rav Elazar how far the mitzvah of kibur aveim goes, and he told the story of Amar lem tzuru ma'asa ovid chav mechala aveim ba'ashlonu. You know, there was an Ovid Chavim in Ashkelon, and look what he did for the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. His name was Dama ben Nesina. One time the Chachamim were looking to purchase the Avanim for the Eifod, and they were willing to pay a tremendous sum of money, Shishim Rebo, 600,000 dinar they were willing to give him. That would have been, Rashi says, Revach. That would have been his profit from the sale. Rav Kahana Masni B'Shmonim Rebo, that it was even more. It was 800,000. And the keys were under his father's head, and he was not mitzar his father, he didn't wake him up. So, says the Gemara, don't you see from there that Avnei Eifod can be purchased from Ovdei Chavim? They were willing to buy it for an exorbitant sum of money from Dama ben Nesina. So how can you say the Yichuli Truma means that whatever we get for the Mishkan cannot be purchased from an Ovdei Chavim? Says Gemara, Avnei Shoham Hivsik Ha'inyin. It doesn't say V'Avnei Shoham, it says Avnei Shoham. So when it lists all the things that V'Yikhuli Truma, so most of the things in the Pasuk are things that V'Yikhuli Truma, that you can only get it in B'nai Yisrael. But when it says Avnei Shoham, that's like a separate category. That Avnei Shoham are not subject to the V'Yikhuli Truma that can only be bought from B'nai Yisrael. Says Gemara, V'ha V'Avnei Miluim Ksiv Dadar Arvei. But it says V'avnei miluim, which sounds like it's putting all of the items back together in the same category, that they can all only be bought from Yisrael. V'od, and aside from that, even if you're not going to be bothered by the Avnei Shoham part of the story of Dama ben Nesina, Don't you remember the end of the story? Katani Seifa, the end of that story goes that Lashana Acheres Nodlo Para Aduma Be'edro, that in the following year he was a Para Aduma was born into his flock, and Nichmasu Chachme Yisrael, that's how the Chacham heard about it, and they came. Amalem Yodea Nibachem Shemani Mavakish Vichem Kol Mamat Shabolam Atem Nosenli. And he said, I know that if I ask for whatever my asking price is, you're going to give it to me. You need a Para Aduma. Achshaveni Mavakish Vichem Ela Osamam Shavsati Bishvila. But all I'm going to ask for is the money that I lost because I didn't want to wake up my father. So you see clearly that they were able to purchase the Para Aduma from an Ovid Kuchavim. So says Gemara, Hasam Ali De Tigre Yisrael Zavun. No, in that case, it was going to be purchased through a middleman. Someone, a Jew, was going to buy it from Dabin Ben Asina, and then the Beis HaMikdash was going to buy it from a Jew. So even though there is this pasuk of a Yichuli Truman, there is this pasuk of Daber Bnei Yisrael the Yichu by Karbonos as well, that's only the final purchase. The final purchase cannot be made by the Mishkan or the Mikdash directly from the Ovid Kochavim. If there's a middleman, then that would be perfectly okay. So a couple of things over here. First of all, the Achronim raised the question, how could Blazar bring the Maisa of Dabba ben Nesina to his Talmidim? He's violating Lo Sechanim. You know, we just learned a couple of days ago that there's an Isra of Lo Sechanim that you're not allowed to give Chaniya Bekarka, you're not allowed to give Matnas Chinam, but you're also Lo Sitlan Chain, you're not allowed to compliment an Ovid Chavim. So isn't he in violation of Lo Sechanim? So some of the Achronim suggest that he did it L'tzaruch Yisrael, to be Malami the Talmidim at Hechen Kibra Ve'im. So that would be Mutter. Others say based on the Maharal. The Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael that Rav Lazar brought this Maisa to show how much the Seichel is Mechayiv this mitzvah. Meaning, all the Chavim are not going to do a mitzvah that's not governed by Seichel. So look to what extent Seichel is Mechayiv for Kibur Aveim. Kibur Aveim is a basic Hakaras HaTov, that your parents did everything for you. They brought you into this world and they take care of you and brought you up. And so the Seichel would be Mechayiv going to this extent. That's all he was trying to highlight for his Talmidim. Rav Yashiv in that Sefer Ashrei Ish, they quote from Rav Yashiv that the Yisra of Lo Sechanim is only things that are inherent, but anything that a person works on and develops would not be a violation of Lo Sechanim, because the Yisra of Lo Sechanim is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the guy like better than a Jew. So to say that something inherently is superior about him, that's why it's always, you have the examples in the Gemara, Kama Na'a Ovid Chavim Zu. The Gemara asks, isn't that Lo Sechanim? Because that's not anything he did. That's how nice he is. That's how good looking he is. Someone asked me before the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl, texted me, are you allowed to say that Tom Brady is a great quarterback? You're only not allowed to say he's good looking, or not? I think you just said both. So, but maybe to not say he's good looking, okay, maybe not. But to say that he's a great quarterback, that's something that he worked at. So according to Rav Yashiv, maybe it's hard to say that Rav Yashiv would say that you should be complimenting Tom Brady's quarterbacking skills, but maybe according to Rav Yashiv Svara that would be permissible. Also, Tosafot raises the issue that from the Gemara later on that we're going to see today that we just saw that Bishchar Dama Ben Asina's Mesiras Nefesh for the Avnei Eifod, he was Zochet to have a Paraduma, so you see that he must have lived in the times of the Bayis Sheni, because in the Bayis Rishon, they didn't burn any Paradumas. So it must have been that in the Bayis Sheni, they were looking for Avanim Le'Eifod. Now, in order to have Avanim Le'Eifod, you need to have a Shamir. So Tos says, Mishnah and Sota, sounds like after Bayis Rishon, they didn't have a Shamir, because the Mishnah says, K'shemesu Nevim Arishonim, Batlu Urim V'tumim, U'mishchar Beis HaMikdash Batal HaShamir, that the Shamir was gone after the Chorban HaBayis. So it sounds like it's talking about the Bayis Rishon, because in the Hemshech of that Gemara in Sota Memtes, the Mishnah speaks about a Pulmus Shalas Pesainus, which was during the Bayis Rishon. And over here it sounds like it was Bayis Sheni, and they needed Avanim Le'Eifod. They must have had a Shamir. So it says, tells us, Ein Lahakshos, don't ask that, because the Mishnah over there was talking about Bayis Sheni. Afterwards it went back to talk about Bayis Rishon. fine. But when it says that Bata Shamir, it means after Bayis Sheni. Bin Yishlomo says, no, we don't mean to say that in Bayis Sheni, the Kohen would have been Oved without an Ephod, because without an Ephod, he's considered Mechusar Begadim. It's not even a Havamina, that it would have been in Bayis Rishon, and that in Bayis Sheni they didn't have an Ephod because they didn't have a Shamir. You can't even raise that as a possibility. The Kohen would have been Mechusar Begadim. Mechusar Begadim is possible Avoda. No, the alternative would have been that they still used the Ephod in Bayis Sheni that they had from Bayis Rishon, but the alternative would not have been that they didn't have an ephod at all. But perhaps most importantly, as far as halacha lemaisa over here, in terms of this sugya, is you know, we're raising Dam ben Nesina on a pedestal. Look, this is Spitz Kibbur Aveim. This is like the greatest level you could have of Kibbur Aveim. Is it even right what he did? He could have made 800, I don't know what 800,000 dinar exactly is worth in current, but it sounds like it was a lot of money. When his father woke up and his father said, no, anything happened when I sleep? Oh yeah, we could have won the lottery. And I said, no, thank you. So would his father have been happy about that? Is that really Kibbur Aveim? Rav Moshe and Dibros Moshe, Maseches Kiddushin, raises the question that Rov HaAvos would have Hana'a Gedola if their children were to make so much money. So of course he should have woken him up. So why are the Chum Meshabeach him for not waking him up? And even if you're going to say that Dama Ben Asina had decided that he wasn't going to tell his father, so his father wouldn't have tsar over the loss of money, still, his father would have gotten hana'a to learn that they just got rich over this, so he wouldn't have been at all upset, it wouldn't have been any tsar whatsoever to wake the father up. So why didn't he wake the father up? It's not even a midos chasidus. So Moshe says that you have to say that his father was insane, that his father was not mentally healthy, and he wouldn't have chapped, he wouldn't have understood anything about the money. So if that's the case, and even though he says the Gemara in the Sugya and Kiddushin, it only tells us about that his mother was crazy, that Dam ben Nesina's mother used to tear his clothing and smack him on the head and spit in his face when he was sitting amongst the Gedolei Romi. The Tosaf there quotes from a Midrashim like this, that she's Muturefes Midaita, but you have to say that Matza Minas Mino, that his father also was insane, and because of that, he wouldn't have known, and that's why it was Kibbur Av. That's how Moshe makes such an akimta. Otherwise, it can't be that this would be a proper Kibbur Av. The Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Kibbur Avim Yardei Asim Reish Mem quotes from the Sefer Chasidim that a son who has the ability to make a lot of money and his father is sleeping, we learn from Dam ben Asina not to wake up the father. But if the father would make a lot of money if you don't wake him up, then certainly you're supposed to wake up the father. Meaning, he's making an akimta over here that the case is, and it sounds this way, that Dam ben Asina was the one who lost money. Nesina is not the one who lost money, it's the son who lost money. And that's the great level of Kibbur Aveim. But, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if the son knows that the father would be very happy, that he would make the money and he would want to be woken up, then certainly mitzvah lahakitzo. It's a mitzvah to wake him up in such a situation. And therefore, he says, halacha lemaisa. Let's say a son knows that his father would like to be on time to shul. He would like to make Zman Kriya Shema, but he knows that the father is sleeping. So he says, mitzvah lahakitzo. If you know that that's what he wants and that he would like to be woken up for such things, then you should wake him up. But even then, he says, Tov la'akitza al-yidei acher. Still, if someone has to wake him up, better to have someone other than the son wake him up, which is an interesting thing. Like there's this dafka, this inyan of not waking up the father as opposed to anything else. You would think it's just an assessment. If he would want to do it, so then adrava, that's part of the mitzvah of Kibbur Aveim. But the Aruch HaShulchan is still hesitant about it. Still, Tov la'akitza al-yidei acher. Taz says, also, the father of Dam ben Asina didn't want his son to make money, and because he quotes this as a makor for the Ramah writes that if the father wants to throw the son's money to the yam, the son could say, can stop him from doing it, but if he wants to prevent the son from making money, you can't stop the father from preventing the son from making money. And the Taz says, yeah, haraya, Dama ben Asina, that it wasn't that he was losing money, he had an opportunity to make a lot of money, and apparently that's considered within the realm of Kibbur Aveim, that's considered within the boundaries of Kibbur Aveim. Okay, says the Gemara, further now. So ask the Gemara, Reb Lazar lo chayish l'rvia, last word line is v'rabi, about 10 lines into the page, on chav dalar m'ral. V'rabi Eliezer lo chayish l'rvia, is Reb Eliezer not concerned of rvia, that an animal you can get from an akum, that the Ovid Chavim is roveya the animal, of Tanya, but we have a braisa, amru lo l'Reb Eliezer maisav l'chum in Ovid Chavim, v'dama shemahu, that one time they bought carbon from Ovid Chavim, and his name was Dama, v'amrila remetz shemahu, and some say his name was Remetz, and Amr Lahem Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar responded, Misham Raya, Yisrael Hayu Mishamir Nosa Misha Ashenolda. Can't bring me a Raya from the case where they bought the Paraduma from the Ovid Chavim, because a Jew was watching it from its birth. Well, if the issue were simply that you're not allowed to buy it from an Ovid Chavim because of Xeris HaKasav, a Jew watching it from its birth doesn't help. No, from Rabbi Lazar's response, you see that his real concern was Revia. So you had a Jew being Shomer. It was like a Chal of Yisrael situation, right? You have someone watching to make sure that nothing wrong is going on. So you have a Jew watching, making sure that nothing happened. So it must be that Rabbi Lazar's concern is Revia. So says Gemara, also true. Rabbi Lazar Tarti is like, Kicha v'chayish nami l'revia. He's choshish for kicha, for the pasuk that you have to buy it from a Jew and not from a non-Jew, and that is solved by having a middleman, by having a Jewish middleman. But then you also have an additional concern of revia. So in order to be able to buy the Parah Aduma from Dama, they needed two things. They needed to make sure that there was a middleman to purchase from Dama, and they had to make sure that from the time the animal was born, that that someone was being shomer. That someone was being shomer to make sure that there was no revia. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Reb Lazar lo chayish revia, v'atanya amlo have matzi lachshiv mayihi d'vechein hayir Reb Lazar posel b'kolar karbanos al machayish l'revia. Meaning, really, you could have just said from the fact that Reb Lazar posel all the karbanos that he's chosh l'revia, nichol yasim mayim ma'aseh d'kay ma'ala. But we'd rather bring a raya from the story that we're talking about now. It is like we mentioned yesterday, that we'd rather bring a raya from what we're in right now rather than to bring a raya from somewhere far away, like that Ritva that said that even if the Raya is from another Mishnah or a Pasuk, we'd rather bring a Raya Misvara, because that's something inherent, that's something that is Minei Ubei. So says Gemara Vaita now, Amar Mar, Yisrael lo Yimushamir Nosa Misha Shenolda. So Rabbi Lazar says, why are we allowed to buy the Parah Aduma from Dama? Because there was a Yisrael watching it from the moment of its birth. Shouldn't we have to be concerned that maybe they were Roveya, the mother, while the mother was pregnant with this Paraduma? Because after all, Damarava Vlada Nogachas Asura, he uvlada nagchu. If you have the vlad of an animal that was nogeach, that gored, it's aser, because the mother with the vlad are considered to both have been nogeach. Vlad hanir vaas asura, the vlad of an animal that was nirva is aser, he uvlada nirvu, because both the mother and its vlad are considered part of the maisa revia. So why aren't we concerned that the mother was nirves, meaning even if you watch the baby from the time it was born, who was watching the mother? So you have to say is that from the moment of conception the Yisrael was already shomer. The concern of the mother apparently is only if the mother was nirvaas while pregnant with the offspring, then it would be a problem. So as long as someone was watching the mother from the moment of conception, so then you have any chashash revia for the child. But maybe there's an issue even if the mother was nirvaas before it became pregnant. Because after all, the Mishnah tells us that the Tanakama holds any animal that's possible l'gabi mizbeach, its offspring are mutar l'mizbeach. V'tani ala Rabbi Eliezer oser. But we learn that Rabbi Eliezer asers in such a case that if the mother's possible, the child is possible. So hani chal rava damar. So if you say like Rava, it's not going to be a problem, because according to Rava, this whole machlokas is only if the revia happened after the animal became kadosh. But when if the animal was still chulin, everyone would hold we're not concerned for the revia. So you don't have to worry about the revia as long as someone was watching the mother from the time that it was kadosh. But according to those that are understand that the whole machlokas is even when it was near, is only when it was near v'kshein chulin, that it was near before it ever became kadosh. Avkshein mukdash and v'ya kol asurin. But if it's mukdash, then everyone would say that it's asur. So then ma'ika lemeimar. How could they have watched this mother? Shouldn't we be concerned about the mother, where revia would have been a problem even if it happened before the conception of the of this paraduma that they purchased? So it says Gemara, Ema Yisrael Yimashamir Nosal Ima Misha Ashenotra. What you have to say is that there was a Yisrael watching the mother from the time of its conception, from the time that the mother was conceived. Says the Gemara, okay, but v'nechash dil maravua li'ima di'ima. Shouldn't you then have to be concerned that someone was raveya, the grandmother? Says Gemara, kule halu chashina. Nah, we're not so concerned about that. What does that mean, we're not so concerned? It's the same concern, meaning we require that someone had to watch the mother. As long as one animal along the line is pasul, l'chara, it's the same concern, because each one is the vlad of a pasul. So that's what Tosfos Rav explains. Kulei lo chashinan doesn't mean that it's less of a chance that that happened. It means that this problem of a vlad of apostle, he says, what's the svara, what's the reason that a vlad of apostle is problematic? It's a svara, that it's a bizayon, that everyone's going to look at that animal and associate it with the mother that was apostle, and say, ah, oh, that's a vlad of apostle. But a grandchild of apostle is not such a bizayon. That's not such a problem anymore. It's already forgotten. So kulei lo chashinan, meaning this soul of this problem of being a vlad of apostle is only a one generation problem. So meaning we're saying enachinami, even if the grandmother was near vase, it's not going to be a problem, because it's only a one generation problem. It's not a two generation problem. Now if you look at Tosos v'nechosh dilma rava li'ima, when the Gemara suggested that we should be choshesh that the mother was near vase, hadlo park dilma ala ol al ima v'hi v'ima nasu ol. Why don't we ask more basically? Forget about a chashash revia for a para aduma, you can't even have ala ala ol, that it ever had a yoke on its back. So shouldn't we be concerned about that? That while the mother was pregnant, it had a yoke. Dimken lo ashkan para shalo ala ol al ima titnan ala ala zachar psula. He says, no, that clearly that would not passel the child. Meaning we only have by nirva that that would passel the child. Ala ala ol would definitely not passel the child, because in order for the mother to have become pregnant, it had to have been mounted by a zachar. That only happened, right? That's by definition, that's always going to happen. That's considered an ol. Now, if you look at the bottom Tosis, where we then made the ukimta that someone was watching the mother from the moment that it was notzer, tema la avnami amei enam tzrichim lishmar dalibiz rab lozer kamin tzivizeg vari maser. Shouldn't someone have to have been shomer the father as well? Because if the vlad of a pasul is pasul, so if the father was pasul, it would also be a problem, because rab lozer holds zevizeg vari maser, meaning we look at both garmim of the child, and the mother and the father are both garmim. Yeshlomer kivin the time of daminami enu el mishum the bazia milsik daminim of tamura mehay time armin the nirvuk shein chulin mutarin the kivin the shtanu lo bazia milsa hachinami binirva av lo minker of lo bazia milsa. Since you have to remember the whole issue, like we said from Tosfos before, is that it's an issue of bizayon, that everyone's going to look at this animal and say, ah, oh, this is the offspring of a apostle. Yeah, people will associate the child with the mother because the mother was walking around carrying the child for 9 months. People don't associate the child with the father in the animal world especially, but even in the human world it's only a suffix, right? It's only who the father is. The mother is very, very clear who it is. So it's not going to be a bizayon even if the father was a apostle. So no one has to be looking after the father to make sure that nothing was happening with the father. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Amar Mar, Yisrael lo yimashamenosa misha ashenotra. That Yisrael was watching the animal from the time that it was conceived. Minaya dinan. How would they know which animals to watch from their conception? Meaning they would have to have some sort of clue that it had a chance of being a paradumi. You know how many cows are born each year? So what, they're going to watch every cow from the moment that it was conceived? So it says Gemara, Amar Rav Kana, Kos Edo Ma'avinu Lefana B'Shosha Ola Aleha Zachar. There was a trick to make a paraduma. They would put something red, a kos of something red, in front of the animal at the time that it was being mounted, and that would affect the vlad. This is an idea that we do have in a number of places in Shas, and Tanakh, that when a person or an animal sees something at the time of mating, that that's going to have an effect on the vlad. The idea of Yaakov with the spotted sheep, that dafka to show them what they were seeing would affect what the baby was going to be. That's what the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan stood sat ashare tevila. He would sit by the gates of the tevila. The women would come out of the mikvah and they would see him, and that would have an effect on their vlad. By seeing the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan and his Torah, that would have an effect on the vlad, because that's what they were thinking about at the Shas Zivug. So that's something that we do have. So you have the red in front of them, that would cause the child to be a Parah Aduma. So those are the animals that they looked after. Well, if it's such a simple trick, why is it so expensive to buy a Parah Aduma? Just put a cup of red in front of your cow and everything should be fine. So it says, Mara Hol v'shtei saros posel sva. It would make reddish cows, but you can't even have shtei saros that are not red on a Parah Aduma. So it didn't always work as far as that's concerned. So that's why it was very rare. Umayshna did who? So asked the Gemara, but why dafka did they go to Dama ben Asino or to Novid Chavim to do this? Meaning, couldn't they have done this within Behemoth Yisrael? So Amrav Kana b'Muchzekes. It must be that he was known to possess a flock of cows. I don't know if you call them a flock, but he was known to possess a bunch of cows that produced very red results. So it was only a matter of time till it produced such red results that there weren't even Shtei Saros. Others have tried and didn't get such redness. So that's how they knew that they had to go to him. Yosef Rabbi Yami, Sinai Gemara tells us, Yosef Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akil de Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting by the doorway of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasachar minayi va'amar. So one of them started saying, V'cheino yir Rabbi Lezer posel b'kolar kabanos kulan. The Rabbi Lezer posled by all the kabanos to get from Novid Chavim. Pasach idach minayi va'amar. Mayo sivile chavar Rabbi Lezer. So the other one said, well, what kinds of challenges are there to Rabbi Lezer Shita? So we're going to have five different challenges to Rabbi Lezer Shita. First, kaltzon kedo yikab tzulach v'gomer. That las lavo, we're told that the Bnei Yishmael, the other Umos Olam, are going to bring sheep and we're going to use them as karbanos. So Amar lahen Rabbi Lazar, kulam gerim gerurim him la asadavo. Rabbi Lazar says, no, that's not a question, because those are not ovdei kuchavim where there's a chashash of revia. Those are non-Jews who are all going to be gerim gerurim. Gerim gerurim means they're going to act as Jews. As Rashi says, me atzma nigrarim this geyer. They're going to want to be megayer, and therefore they're going to want to start acting of Jews as Jews, even though shein mekabel nosan. We're not mekabel gerim la asadavo. In general, when things are great, we're not mekabel gerim, because we assume that we have to be choshish that it's not being done for a sincere motive. One of the things we tell a ger when they're in the mikvah, when they're about to dip, that you have to realize that by joining the Jewish people, you are subject to anti-Semitism just like the rest of us. And that's frightening for a person. So we have to ascertain that they're not doing this for any ulterior motives. So we're not mekabel gerim la asadavo, but they're still going to behave in a way where they're not going to be roveya animals, because they're going to want to be part of the Jewish people. Amar of Yosef Maikra, what's the pasuk that teaches us this? Ki az ha'pachalamim safa brura. Maybe that just means they're not going to do avodah zarah. Who says they're not going to violate roveya behema? Amalei Rav Yosef la'avdosh chamecher k'siv, that they're all going to serve Hashem in it sounds like that the way Israel, the way the Jewish people serve Hashem, they're going to serve Hashem as well. So it sounds like there's not going to be any roveya anymore. Rav Papa Masni Hachi. Rav Papa taught the same conversation, except he had different people speaking at different points in the conversation. But the actual details of the conversation are the same. I mean, Rav Papa taught it the way we just had it, and Rav Zvid Masni Hachi, and Rav Zvid taught the conversation in the following manner, a little bit differently. V'travayu Amri, that both of the people who were sitting by the shar, the Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, both said, V'cheinu Rabbi Lazar posel b'kol karbanos. And then they both said, that what was the pasuk that they used to challenge Rabbi Lazar, and they quoted that pasuk about Las Lavo. Amar Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar responded, Kulam Gerim Grurim Heim Las Lavo. No, Las Lavo, they're all going to act like Jews would act. Umaykra, Ki Azeh Pachalam, Saf Brur, Lekro Kulam B'Shem Hashem. And the pasuk indicates as such that they're all going to act that way as Jews. Mask of Larav Yosef, Vidil Me'avod Schav Muda Hadri Buhu, and Rav Yosef is the one that asked, but maybe they're only gonna back out on being over Avodah Zarah, but who says they're gonna back out on and act totally as Jews? It says it sounds like they're gonna worship the same way Jews worship, they're gonna act the same way Jews act. So that was all challenge number one to Rabbi Elazar Shita. But says Mar Meisve, I have another challenge, another pasuk where it seems to indicate that we are mekabel karbanos from Avdei Kechavim. Vayomer Moshe, gam ata titein biyadenu zvachim violos. Moshe tells Paro that not only are we going to go, but you're going to send us with animals to bring for karbanos. But how could he even accept animals for karbanos from the Mitzrim? Don't you have to be choshish for Revia? Says Mar, kodem Matan Torah Shaini. That was before Matan Torah. You were allowed to accept animals from Avdei Kechavim as Karbanos before Matan Torah. It was only a post-Matan Torah thing that we were not allowed to do with Tashma, a third Raya. Vayikach Yisro Chosin Moshe Olu Zvachim Lelukim. Yisro was a guy at the time, and here he brought Karbanos. So says Gemara, Yisro Nami called the Matan Torah Hava. Yisro occurred before Matan Torah. Frak the Gemara, yeah, Hani Chalman Diyamar, Yisro called the Matan Torah Hava. That works if you assume that that's true, that Yisro is before Matan Torah. Right? That's the question. Rashi, when in this past week's parsha, Mashmur Shamu Bav, Yishma Yisro, what did he hear about? So Rashi only quotes two out of the three possible opinions of the Medrash, that Melchemes Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. The third opinion in the Medrash is Matan Torah, that he heard about, but that's subject to debate. Was Yisro before Matan Torah? Was Yisro after Matan Torah? So says Gemara, so you could say, yeah, we accepted Kabbalah from Yisro because it was before Matan Torah. That's if you assume that that's actually correct, that it was before Matan Torah. But if the old Yisro was after Matan Torah, how are you going to answer this? El Yisro mi Yisrael Zavan. So what you have to say is, he got those animals to bring us Karbanos from a Jew. So they were Jewish animals. So they weren't in his hands for long enough for us to be concerned that he was Roveya. Now, if you look at Tosos on the top, Yisro Lachar Matan Torah Hava, if that's true, Vim Tomer, Im Kein Tzipor Eishes Moshe, Loba'a El Lachar Matan Torah. That means Tzipora only joined the Jewish people after Matan Torah. V'tikshi al hadar min perek habal yivimto gimel dvar masa moshe midaito v'yiskim akadosh baruch al yado v'kachashiv pirish min isha umay kamar loisa Tzipora imo. Tzipora only rejoined him after Matan Torah. So how could the Gemara say that one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did midaito was that he was pirish min isha prior to Matan Torah? So v'yishlom esha akadosh baruch al nasan leiv lifrosh min isha. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the idea to be Parish Manisha, but not that it played out in practicality. Ulman Yamar Kodem Matan Torah Ba, Kashem Masha Amar Moshe Yisro Vadati Yitzchukei Elokim Estorosav Tadayin Lanit Torah. The conversations are hard to fit if Yisro came before Matan Torah, because it sounds like it says, I'm going to teach you everything that's in the Torah. So that's a little bit difficult. Then at the end of Tosi says, even Laman Yom Le'achar Matan Torah, Lama Nichtzva Parsha Zulakan, why would the Chumash Dafka put that conversation in that spot? So V'tzarech Lama Dilfisha Siper B'bias HaMalek Shahara Yisrael Rishona Mesaper Nami Maisi Yisro Shehet. The reason the Parsha of Yisro is where it is because it's the follow-up to the Parsha of Amalek at the end of Bishalach. So since we talk about the first non-Jews who did terrible things to the Jewish people, we talk about Amalek, so we also want to associate the first non-Jew who did great things for the Jewish people, and that is Yisro. So that's why Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah, it's not in chronological order, but it's not in random order. There's a reason why everything is where it is. So Dafka, we put Yisro right after Bishalach. Says Gemara now a fourth challenge. Tashema vayomer Shaul me'amaleki v'yom asher chamala amal meitav atzon v'abakar l'man zvach l'shem elokecha. The halacha was Shaul was supposed to wipe out all of Amalek. He left Agag alive, but he also left some sheep alive. So Shmuel comes to Shaul, he says, what's all this baying I hear? I hear there's a lot of animal sounds coming. What's going on? So Shaul says, oh yeah, we left the best sheep from Amalek alive, but it's all for good reason. We want to use it as Karbanos LaHashem. So true, he made a mistake. He wasn't supposed to do that. But the mistake doesn't seem to have been that you're not allowed to use animals from Amalek, from Goyim as Karbanos. It was that you're not allowed to leave anything alive from Amalek. That was his real mistake. So my metav, the me metav. Now, he left the animals alive and they were going to sell those animals and use that money to buy other animals, and that's what he was going to use for karbanos. But he was not going to use the animals from Amalek as karbanos. Well, then why only leave the best animals from Amalek? It was only about liquidating the assets and just turning it into money and then using the money to buy karbanos. So cheaper animals can also be sold and you can buy very nice karbanos. But it sounds like from the fact that he only left the best animals alive, that he wanted to use those animals as karbanos. So he said, no, he wanted to leave the best animals alive, because he didn't want to have a hard time selling them. So he wanted something that would be sold very quickly and very easily. So that's why he left only the best animals alive. Tashma, a fifth challenge. Vayomer Ravan el David, Yikach v'yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov be'in of Re'ei HaBakar la'olav amrigim l'klei HaBakar la'etzim. David HaMelech wanted to purchase the Gorin Arvana Yevusi, in the Makkah, which was the Makkah Mamigdash, and Arvana says, no, you can take everything, take the Gorin, take animals, use as karbanos. So Amrav Nachman, Arvana Gertoshav Haya. Now Arvana was a Gertoshav, and that's why he was mutter to use his animals for karbanos. My Morigim, what are Morigim that he's talking about? Amrula Mita Shel Turvil. It's a Mita Shel Turvil. Great. My Mita Shel Turvil. What is a Mita Shel Turvil? So Iza de Kurksa de Daishan. It is like a board that is ridged that helps with the threshing. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, how do I know that a morigan has to do with threshing? He needs some tichel lemoreg charetz chadash bal pipios tidosh harim v'tidok vos kamot tasim. So you see tidosh morig. So you see morig is something that helps with the threshing. And then a sixth and final challenge to Rabbi Eliezer about not using behemos of the chavim because of a chashash revia mesvei zos ve'es haparos helu olu la'ashem, that when the plishtim had the aron and they were put through a whole series of exercises and suffering because they had captured the aron, so they sent it back. Right, so they sent it back on the with cows pulling a wagon. So the cows that came back we use as an olah Hashem. So says the Gemara, yeah, hora shai. So you're right. We weren't normally not allowed to do that. That was a special hora shai that we were allowed to do that. And I'll prove to you that it was a hora shai. Hachina misavra dilote mahachi ola nekeva miika. It was a cow. It wasn't a bull. You're not allowed to use a female for a carbon ola, and yet we use these paros for a carbon ola. So obviously the whole thing was a hora shai. Says Rama, my kushya dilma bebamas yachid. No, that wouldn't have been a problem to use in the keva because it was on a bamas yachid. Because Rav Ada Barava, Dam Rav Ada Barava, Minayin Lol in the Keva, Shikshir, Bamas Yachid, you're allowed to bring an old in the Keva on a Bamas Yachid, Shinemar, Vikach Shmol Tle, Chelov Echad, Vayaleu Ola, Vayaleu Zachar Mashma. So it says Gemara, Vayaleu sounds like it was a Zachar, not a Nekeva, so that's not necessarily a Raya. So, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Vayaleh Haksiv, no, it says Vayaleh Ha, not Vayalehu. We pronounce Vayalehu as if it were a male, but it says Vayaleh Ha, and therefore we see that you are allowed to bring a Nekeva on a Bamas Yachid. If you could bring a Nekeva on a Bamas Yachid, you'd have no proof that this was a Hora'a Sha'a to bring these paros. So we don't, even though we can answer that it was a Hora'a Sha'a, we don't have proof that it was a Hora'a Sha'a. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Gvul Yeshla. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, there's a limit to where the Chashash Revia applies. If the animal's less than 3 years old, then we're concerned that it's going to, then the guy would be concerned that it's going to be, it's not going to be able to have offspring if you are roveyed, so the guy will not be roveyed. But baskimul shanim, ena nekeres. Once the animal's past the age of three, then we have to be concerned for revia. Only then do we have to be concerned for revia, because the animal's not going to be hurt by it. So we ask all of these cases that we just brought, that we were able to use animals that were purchased from Gayim for karbanos, and we answered all of them by saying, yeah, they all must have been animals that were under the age of three, and therefore there was no concern of revia. Tashma v'esaparos helu alul Hashem. What about the fact that these paros that they sent from the plishtim, they brought us no alul Hashem? Yeah, that also, b'chusim v'ashal shanim. We assume it was less than 3 years old. Maskev v'vun v'edram nasnim kain, hainu v'espenem kalu b'bayis, But wait, it says that what did they do with these cows when they sent the Aaron back? They wanted to see that it was a miracle that the Hashem was controlling things. So they took the offspring of those cows, they tied them up in the other direction, and normally, naturally, the cows would go right back to their children. But what did they do? They went to Klal Yisrael. So what do you? But the bottom line is they had offspring. That an animal is only considered to be ready to have offspring when it's after 3 years old. Prior to 3 years old, we assume that it didn't have any offspring. So we have to say like we said originally that forget about the three-year-old issue, that it was either that it was a hara sha'a, or what did we say before? That it was a hara sha'a, and not that it was a pachas and baskim l'shanim. Now over here is a very important Tosfos, because Tosfos points out that the Gemara makes an assumption over here that prior to the age of three, an animal is unable to have any offspring. So Tosfos says, but it happens all the time. Prior to the age of three, animals have offspring. How could this assumption possibly be true? So Tosfos says, yeah, nishtana hateva. What you have to say is that the nature of things have changed. Tosfos writes in Moed Katan Daf Yud Aleph the same thing about some of the refuos that we find in Shas that don't work nowadays. And he says that dugim, for example, are better to eat them when they're not fresh. Better to eat fish after they've been caught for a while. So our experience is the opposite, that you get sick if you eat spoiled fish. That fresh fish is much better. Nishtana ateva. They have to say that the tvayim have changed. Some of the acharim suggest maybe it's only by fish, that by fish things have changed, because maybe we have different fish than they had in times of Chazal. But no, clearly we see that in a number of different areas, which we don't have time to go into right now, but in a number of different areas, we have this notion of nishtana tvayim. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.